Tonight we're coming to you live from our Limerick studios, where I'm joined by nine candidates who are campaigning to become the first directly elected mayor of Limerick. This programme is going to be divided into two debates. On one panel there'll be five candidates, on the other four. Each person will get equal time and the panels will be allocated time accordingly. The speaking order and the makeup of the panels were decided by a draw ahead of tonight's programme. Now, first to the basics and the background. This election is the first of its kind in Ireland, and the person who's elected to the role will be the first ever mayor in the country with executive powers. It's an executive and a representative role. The mayor will be able to design and propose strategies for Limerick, including areas around planning, housing, transport and the environment. As well as the €700 million budget, they'll have a discretionary €40 million budget over 5 years. The salary for the role is just over £154,000 per annum. Now, as well as devising a strategy for Limerick, the mayor acts as a representative for the city and county with a direct line to all government ministers through the Limerick Mayoral and Government Consultative Forum. And so to our first debate, when we're going to hear from our first five candidates. And they're in studio with me. They're Conor Sheehan, Helen O'Donnell, Daniel Butler, Maurice Quinlivan and Elisa O'Donovan. Welcome all to the studio. Thanks for joining us. Now, each person is going to have 90 seconds to lay out their plan for the role. And then once they've done all of that, we'll go back around the candidates again and they'll have 2 minutes to discuss what they've heard and also to engage with the other candidates' ideas. So please stick to your time, as listeners will probably severely doubt your ability to manage millions of euro in a budget if you can't manage 90 seconds and then a further 2 minutes in the course of an election debate. We're going to start, as I said, we took the order of tonight's debate in a draw. Conor Sheehan from Labour is first up. He's the Labour Party candidate for the election. He's been a sitting councillor for Limerick since 2019. He's from Corbally. He's a member of Limerick City and County Council's Home and Social Development and Transport Special Policy Committees. Conor, you've 90 seconds, so your plan for the improvement of Limerick and why people should elect you as mayor.
Thank you, Cullum, and good evening to your listeners. I suppose I'm the youngest candidate standing in this election. I'm standing in this election particularly on the issue of housing, because the housing crisis has disproportionately affected people my age more than any other generation. And I suppose I'm standing in this election because I want people like me to have a future here in Limerick. At the moment, we're building about 765 new homes a year. We need to double that. We need to go to 1,500 a year. We have the Land Development Agency, which have a number of strategic sites within the city centre. And unfortunately, they are all classified as Class 3 sites, which means they have the potential for long-term development. The LDA currently have two people working in Limerick. We also have more than 200 vacant social homes at the moment. It's the equivalent of a large estate that's entirely boarded up. And I'm standing in this election because I want to tackle this issue head on. I believe we can and should be doing a lot better. And the fact of the matter is, in terms of people my age, I always believe that if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. And I would very much rather be at the table in terms of representing and standing up for the people I represent. I represent Limerick City North on the council, which is one of the most diverse but also the most deprived electoral areas. And we have huge social challenges. And I want to make sure that everybody in this city and county feels lifted, and I want to level up our wonderful city and county, and that's why I'm standing in this election.
Okay, thanks very much. Conor, now Helen O'Donnell is our next candidate. She's an independent candidate. She's chair of the Limerick Tidy Towns Committee and is a local businesswoman known for running the Dolman and Hunt Museum restaurants in the city. She was a member of Fine Gael, and her husband is the late Fine Gael TD and MEP Tom O'Donnell. Helen has been a member of several local organisations, including the Limerick Chamber of Commerce and the JP McManus Benevolent Fund. Now you've 90 seconds to outline your vision and why people should elect you, Helen.
Thank you, and good evening, Colm, and to your listeners, good evening. The top item on my agenda, I'm a community and independent candidate. The top item on my agenda is housing, and I would plan having an accelerator unit in the Mayor's office, and we definitely need more affordable housing. I would be calling in the Housing Finance Agency for additional funds, and top of my list is to open up all the boarded up houses that are around cities, towns and villages, the city, town and villages of Limerick. I've been through estates in Mary's Park this evening. So many boarded up houses. I want those houses opened up and people living behind them. They're also very basics for the county of Limerick. All over the towns I've been in, you know, in the east and west, there have been problems with water, shortage of water, low pressure, and boiled water notices. I want to call an Irish Water as mayor. That'd be one of the first calls I'd make, would be to find out why these basics in 2024 aren't rectified and rectified faster. Over 9 months, some businesses are actually going to the village next door to get water, drinking water, for their clients. I want to streamline planning in the council. At the moment, there's four stages to planning. I want to reduce that and streamline it, because you have to go back to the department twice and the turnaround is just too slow. On transport, which is another issue, I want local links to villages and towns all over the county.
And that's your 90 seconds. Thanks very much, Helen O'Donnell. Now, Daniel Butler is next to speak. He's a sitting councillor for Fine Gael in Limerick City and County. He previously served as mayor in 2021 and 2022. He's been on the council since 2014. He serves on a number of local committees and organisations and is a member of the St John's Hospital Board of Governors and chairperson of My Mind Limerick Steering Committee. So in 90 seconds, John, what's your strategy? Why should people in Limerick elect you?
Daniel, so I've been a mayor, as I say, a councillor for the last 10 years. I've served previously as mayor, the only candidate that has previously served as mayor, which is the role that's closely aligned to the role we're about to see. So using my experience of delivery over those 10 years, I have delivered a five-point plan. And on that five-point plan is enterprise and housing, infrastructure, rural development and quality of life. So in terms of housing, obviously, which is the key issue definitely that's come up as part of this campaign, I have committed to deliver 2,000 affordable homes as part of my campaign, and I've identified three sites that are been outlined, which is Cleves, the Corbett site, and also the St. Joseph site. And that's not to count the 5,000 planning applications which are currently live and in the planning process here in Limerick City, which I hope to advance as part of Project Tutig, which is a plan by government which has been developed to deliver housing that has stalled in the planning process. But also rural once-off housing is a key part of what I want to deliver. The county part of the constituency needs to see housing delivered, and what we're seeing at the moment is farmers, and particularly young farmers, when we're looking at succession issues in relation to agriculture, having to commute to their farms, which is totally unacceptable. But also we need to build capacity with the towns and villages, which is delivery of infrastructure such as sewer systems and treatment systems, in order to deliver large-scale housing within the towns and villages and see them grow and see people live there and enterprise grow and develop there also. And also what I want to talk about as well is rural development as part of that as well, in terms of childcare in particular in our rural constituencies.
All right. Daniel Butler, of course.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for that, Daniel Butler. Feel free, Daniel, to call me Charlie for the rest of the programme for mistakenly calling you John at the beginning. Maurice Quinlivan is up next. He's Sinn Féin TD for Limerick City since 2016. He's from Ballynanty Beg and was a serving councillor from 2009 until his election to the Dáil. He's chair of the Oireachtas Committee on Enterprise and is a member of the Limerick Drug and Alcohol Task Force. So in 90 seconds, Maurice, if you could outline why people in Limerick should elect you to be the first directly elected mayor.
Firstly, I think this is a really good opportunity for Limerick, for the whole of Limerick, the city and the county, and it needs to be embraced, and I think I'm the right person. I think I have the experience. I've 7 years as a councillor, 8 years now in the Dáil, last 4 years I chaired the Enterprise Trade and Employment Committee. I have a huge number of contacts and my voluntary work and my work I've done over the last 20 years with community groups across the whole of Limerick and the representations I've done people on a daily basis. But the issue and the reason I want to do this is I really think it's a good opportunity for Limerick. We need to make sure that we start to lift Limerick. Limerick needs to be lifted. We need to embrace what we can do. There's a discretionary fund there and I'm committing to people that I have done already that 50-50 of that would be spent in the city and in the county area, because I've been travelling through the county, you know, as I always do, but particularly during this campaign, and seeing a lot of groups that are doing really well but can be doing a lot better with more support, and we can leverage more money than we have from the 40 million discretionary. But the issues that are coming up are everything, no matter where you go in Limerick, in the city or the county, any village or rural areas, is housing is the number one issue that's coming up. And then obviously an issue that's not directly the mayor's responsibility is the hospital, and I would be the champion for that, to make sure that people in Limerick, when they are sick, get the health care that they need in their local hospital, because that hasn't happened. As we well know, the crisis goes on the emergency department in our hospital, and any mayor who's elected has to be the champion to make sure that that happens. But there's a lot of issues there, and we need to look at the revitalisation of the city centre. There's a lot going wrong in the city centre. It's sad to see that. Villages and towns need to be done as well.
We will come back to you in the programme. Elise O'Donovan is our next speaker. She's a sitting councillor for Limerick City and Council for the Social Democrats. She's born in London. She's been living in Limerick since she was a teenager. She's a speech and language therapist working in the HSE. She's a board board member of West Limerick Resources, Employability Limerick and the Ballinacurra Weston Regeneration Committee. So Elisa, in 90 seconds, what's your plan for Limerick and why should people vote for you?
Thank you for that. As you mentioned there, I am the Social Democrat councillor for Mayor of Limerick. I'm the only Social Democrat elected onto Limerick Council. I'm also the only woman elected in my area of Limerick City West. And as the Social Democrat candidate for Mayor of Limerick, my priority is the delivery of key basic public services within our city and county. At its heart, the council is a public service provider, and I don't think we are getting the basics right when it comes to our public service delivery throughout the city and county. I'm meeting people throughout the city and county every day. They want the basics done right. They want buses to arrive on time. They want spaces for young people to hang out in. They want houses that they can afford. So it's all these sort of basic things that, you know, a society should be providing that we just need to get right. I guess also as a Social Democrat candidate, for me, driving equality is very important. We have a very diverse community, particularly here in Limerick City, and I think it's something that's very important for a mayor to champion. And also, I would promote sustainability and a more thriving, healthy Limerick. As you mentioned there, my day job is I'm a speech and language therapist. So for me, building mentally and physically healthy spaces throughout the city and county is a really important part for me as mayor.
Okay. Thanks very much for that, Elisa O'Donovan. Now, back to you, Conor Sheehan. We have a couple of minutes there. As you mentioned at the outset, you're the youngest candidate. So is there anything around the table that you've heard that you'd contest, first of all, and would you like to say why you, over and above the other four candidates sitting around this table, are particularly suited to this job?
Well, I suppose the first thing I would say in that everything I have set out from the outset of this campaign, I believe to be realistic and deliverable. And I think that's really important because I heard Daniel mention rural one-off housing there, and I do understand there are huge issues there with succession and rural farms and the people and the fact that people can't build, you know, where they may have grown up or where they want to live and where they want to raise a family. But the fact of the matter is that, like, we have a planning regulator, and, you know, the directly elected mayor will not be able to overrule the planning regulator, much as we as a council could not overrule the planning regulator in relation to issues to do with housing and rural one-off housing when we were doing our development plan. So I would have a slight concern there with, you know, stating that you are going to pursue rural one-off housing when the fact of the matter is, because of the planning regulator, you are not going to be able to do that. I mean, the fact of the matter is, like, when you do a development plan, you set out your development plan, the planning regulator looks at it and says no, you know, because for the reasons that they have set out, it goes to the minister, and then the minister just essentially it ends up reverting to what it was before. So I think that
how would you address that concern then of the one that was specifically outlined of young farmers commuting to their farms? How would you assuage that concern?
Well, I think we need to look at the residential zoned land tax, right? And there's a lot of opposition to it, and it is something that's very controversial. But we need to see, for example, we know that, like, beating people with more stick isn't going to work, essentially. So I think we need to look, and as directly elected mayor, I would go back to government to see how we could incentivize these farmers to develop this land, whether there could be some sort of a tax incentive or something like that to allow them to actually bring that land into use, because it is serviced and zoned for development.
Okay, we'll be with you shortly, Daniel Butler, because that was addressed, some of that was addressed directly at you, but we're going to go back in the order we started out in. Helen O'Donnell, having heard all of the other candidates there, what makes you uniquely qualified over and above the people sitting at this table to do this particular job?
My experience in business, my experience on a number of boards, Safe Food, North South Body, my experience on a number of boards handling large sums of money gives me the perfect CV for this role. At the centre of my campaign is the city centre, and it was really lovely to see that way out in County Limerick, the farthest points, people are still concerned about the Limerick city centre, which I was sort sort of worried about initially talking about it out there because they would be saying you're all about the city. I think people in county are as worried about cities. I would have a task force as to remedy the problem, a task force of residents who are not often regarded as stakeholders. I would also have traders, have guards and all of the agencies involved in the city centre to work on a plan, but execute that plan, because we could paper from here to Abbey Field with the plans that have been developed and never executed. So that would be immediate challenge for me. Okay,
you've outlined your experience as a business person.
Yes.
What about the political experience of people sitting around the country, sitting around the table here? Would you see that as a strength on their part that maybe you wouldn't have as much experience in that?
I don't have as much experience as a political, never been a political representative, but I've been around politicians all my life and around politics in the Forum for Peace and Reconciliation, sitting between John Hume and John Bruton. So I have plenty of political experience which I can bring to the table, but I think it's refreshing as an independent candidate that I would work with every elected official in the 40 member council that will be voted for on the same day as me, and I would also work with the executive and the 1500 employees of the local authority, because I'm meeting them on the doors and they're concerned about what shape the council will take in the new structure, because this is historic, it's new, it's a first for Limerick, and Limerick has had so many firsts, like coming together as a local authority, the county and city, like being the oldest city in the country. So we have an awful lot to be proud of, and this is another extraordinary time that Limerick will have to make history.
All right, very, very briefly, just the discretionary fund of 40 million, did you give an indication of how, what your main priority would be over the 5 years and the use of that?
The only commitment I've made on that money is that it should be evenly distributed between the county and the city.
Okay, all right, thanks very much. Daniel Butler, we're back to you. Do you want to first of all address what Conor Sheehan was saying there about rural one-off housing, that while on the one hand you're in favour of it to give people in farming locations a shorter distance to their farms or live on their farms, that you may not be able to provide that given the planning system?
No, I disagree. You can amend the development plan and then, like it was said, it goes to the minister, and I think we're in a crisis now, and I think the minister and the government acknowledge that. So when you're in a crisis you have to consider all forms of housing, and I think I'd like to see it reviewed back, and we do currently have in our development plan a particular planning piece of legislation that's inside that that does allow to a degree, but we've rolled back, and I think we can look at that and refine that legislation, because it's something we cannot ignore. In agriculture is facing a very serious crisis in relation to succession rights. It's growing on a year-by-year basis, and in particular it's affecting small young farmers, and it has to be addressed, and as a mayor I cannot ignore that. So there is a possibility there. I know the residential zone land tax was mentioned. That really affects very few small farms. It's not going to do anything for most farmers at all, because it really is only for farms that are in close proximity to urban settings, whether they're towns and villages or they're close to the metropolitan area. So we have to address this.
But how would you address the concerns over the environmental concerns over septic tanks in one-off houses and the infrastructure that's needed for that?
Well, that's why we need to start delivering septic tanks and water treatment in our towns and villages, because then we can deliver capacity within the towns and villages as well. So it's not about choosing one or the other, it's about working with both of them to get together. And I know in particular Askeaton was identified as a spot that is to get water treatment, and other areas as well, like Maru as well, which has the capacity and ability in terms of zoning as well to deliver more housing. So yes, it's about infrastructure, but it also is about once-off rural housing as well as part of that. But look, as well, it's important to know as well, you know, we can talk about committees for this and that as well. I sit on a number of committees, and I don't really talk about it too much because I think there's too many committees, and I think most of my colleagues here who've been involved in politics for a long time would agree with that as well. There needs to be a refinement back in terms of committees, and we need to be looking at much more action. How can we deliver action? And certainly in Limerick I would like to see greater action and refinement
in the absence of committees. How would you consult and decide on best practice?
We've excellent methods already as it is. We don't need a committee on top of that to have further discussion. I'm about a delivery, I'm not about talking.
Okay. Thanks very much, Daniel Butler. Maurice Quinlivan, you've outlined what your experience is here to date, but have you heard anything around the table there that makes you think anybody around the table would be any worse than you at the role?
Any worse than me or any better than me?
Any better or worse. So what have you heard around the table that makes you uniquely qualified?
In fairness to the four candidates who are here with me, they're all good candidates and all in this right place, but I do believe I'm the best placed person. I have the experiences I outlined earlier on. I have a passion for Limerick. I believe I am the person who can develop this new role. It's a new role. It's the first devolving of powers from central government since the foundation of the state, actually back into a local council. Limerick is going to be the test for that, and I believe we have to get this right. And if we get this right, and I believe if I am the person there, we will get this right, and other cities will copy what we're doing, because it will be the benefit of everybody living in Limerick, regardless if you live in Ballinanty or Ballysteen, Askeaton or Abbeyfield. It doesn't matter. You know, I will be looking my best to do my best I can for everybody. There's a discretionary fund there, and I think with 40 million euros, you could leverage a lot more money from that as well, you know, by being inventive. But I would be making the commitment I'm making to people, and I've made it on the doors, is that 50% of that would be going into rural County Limerick, and also that I would be talking to people on a weekly basis in a local area, you know, just to get their feedback into it, to make sure it works for themselves. But we have this opportunity, we've a wonderful opportunity to do this right for Limerick, to make sure it's for Limerick. Limerick Council, it works really well in some circumstances. There's fantastic staff there, but their potential is not unleashed because of the number of people there whose stock answer to everything is to say no, and I want to be the person that says yes.
Just a slight specific on the 20 million for city, 20 million for county. What's the key project you'd like to do very briefly in both city and county?
Well, the key project is revitalise the core city centre. We'll all agree, and we've all said it in public debates, there is a problem in the city centre. We need to sit down as a matter of urgency. You know, I've spoken to all the stakeholders involved in that already. So it would be the Garda Síochána, the council, people dealing with homeless services, people with drug and addiction services, residents associations, residents themselves, and business owners, and also the unions as well, because there is an issue around staff not feeling safe at work. Setting that up as a matter of urgency, and not setting a long committee that's going to do a report to people who are not interested, and then talking to local groups. Okay. I've met a number of groups over the last number of years, and there'll definitely be 20 million euros to spend in the county areas, because there's a lot of projects there. People are doing really well. You just need a bit of support.
You're out of time. Thanks very much, Maurice Quinlivan. Elise O'Donovan, you talked about the delivery of public services. Mm-hmm. How, as a mayor who's not directly in control of some of the people who deliver those public services, would you change that?
I think there is a lot of things that we can do in the council that can streamline services a lot more. I have spoken to a lot of the staff over the last few months in relation to what they would do differently in their departments, be it housing, be it community services, you know, and I think there are things that we could streamline. We recently in council got a presentation of Limerick Council's community and economic plan for the next 5 years. And this basically is a blueprint for what the council is going to deliver regarding our community services and economic development over the next few years. It was very evidence-based. It was put together by a highly qualified sociologist within the council. And I think that, you know, we have a lot of the research done within the council of what is needed throughout the city and the county. We have a lot of fantastic strategies and plans. What we really need now is a leader who is going to ensure that those plans are actually carried out on the ground. And I think that is something that I really do have a lot of experience with over the last 5 years. As I mentioned, I have been the only Social Democrat, so I've had to work with all parties and none, including many people here in the studio today, in delivering different things throughout the city. So I think that is the most important thing. We have the plans, but it's just about ensuring that they get delivered.
Do you want to give us an insight into your discretionary fund? How would you spend the 40 million? Do you have one key project that you would have as a matter of priority? And if so, how much would you allocate to it?
For me, you know, I guess my particular focus is in relation to ensuring that all services within the council are accessible for everyone. We have over 23% people within the city and county living with disabilities. And I want to ensure that we have access officers within the council which are paid to ensure that every street that is put down, every service is accessible.
You're out of time. I want to ask you all just about the representative part of the role, because you talked about inside of Limerick, but in terms of lobbying for Limerick at the higher level, what's the first priority? Who would you talk to, and how would you ensure that your message is heard? Connor.
Well, the top priority for me in terms of the representative part of the role is the fact that we need a Model 3 hospital here in the Midwest. UHL is Model 4 hospital. It's frequently twice as overcrowded as the next nearest acute hospital. And while the directly elected mayor has no role in terms of, you know, direct role in terms of the hospital, you really need to use the advocacy role. There's a recruitment ban at the moment in UHL. We have an 8 billion euro surplus. It's unconscionable. My own 88-year-old grandfather was 100 hours in a trolley in January. My sister used to be a nurse in UHL. This is very personal to me. And the fact of the matter is, we have St John's, Ennis and Nina, which were closed in 2009. And the most obvious one for me, given the level of investment that has been there, is the fact that we need to have a Model 3 hospital, probably in Nina, because it is the most logical place. And in terms of advocacy, that would be the number one thing for me, because every door I knock on, day or night, city and county, the fact of the matter is that most people in Limerick are terrified of ending up in their local A&E. And that's no reflection on the hardworking staff. They're fantastic. But the place is just so overcrowded and so under-resourced. And that should be the number one priority for the directly elected mayor in terms of advocacy, even though the mayor does not have direct power over this. And I have been critical.
All right. Thanks very much, Conor Sheehan, the Labour candidate there. Helen O'Donnell, what is your main priority in terms of advocating for Limerick, and what's the proof that you could see through whatever your priority was?
I want Limerick to be the best place to live in Ireland, and I will bring my leadership skills to make that happen. We're crying out for leadership all over the county and city. I've heard this on every door I knock on, and I do believe that through strong leadership and good planning and working collaboratively and seeing your projects through, that you can actually make an enormous difference.
And what makes you confident that at the national level you have what it takes to address some of the concerns that require national action, like, say, health or transport or those kind of things?
Yeah, well, health is not part of the remit of the mayor. But if you have a significant vote in the election, you can lobby on anything. And obviously everything Limerick would be at the forefront on the mayor's table. But I do feel that it's an opportunity for somebody to lead Limerick into the future. The children in the regional hospital this morning, or in the maternity hospital this morning, they should have a huge opportunity going forward to live in a community that is safe, that is really good. And in terms of leadership, I will knock on any minister's door and get the very best deal for Limerick. That would not faze me for one moment. And I think we have to go further than Dublin. We have to look to European funds. We have to look to getting a huge amount of investment, FDI. And I think that would be up to the responsibility of the mayor to follow whatever you can absolutely get for this county and city.
Okay, Daniel Butler, to you, same question. As a representative for Limerick, mm-hmm. lobbying government and trying to, attract funding and solutions for the problems that require national action. First of all, identify the problem and tell me how you go about it.
Well, look, I'm in agreement with Conor here. It has to be health here. I mean, the UHL is an issue that's coming up time and time again. It's something that affects all of us, no matter where we come from. And we have a situation where people are afraid to go into hospital because of the situation that's in there. So we have to take that on. And I think, yes, a Model 3 is part of the solution. There's no doubt about it. But in terms of delivery, that's going to take a number of years. But I think in the short term, I work in myself in the HSE and in community healthcare, and so does Elisa. And I think really the model towards getting people out of hospital and away from hospital needs to be focused on. I think there's more capacity for deliver. So what does that mean? That means looking at primary care centres across the city and the county, where you can go in and get your occupational therapy, your physio, and also I'd like to see X-ray services like they have in Newcastle West expanded throughout the county,
What could you do as mayor that would say the local TD is not doing?
Well, what we can do as mayor is we can allocate the lands. So we council have ownership of lands all across the city and the county. Also, we have in terms of capacity to deliver zoning to allow that to happen. And I think that's really what happens. But on top of that as well, it can be tied into our housing policy as well. So what I have proposed as part of my housing policy is right-sizing schemes where people are living in homes that are too big for them, to give an opportunity to right-size and live in communal spaces where they'll have the support of an independent health support so they can live independently. But not just that, I also propose to deliver a number of prototypes where you can build onto existing family homes, where your older family member can live beside you, giving you the prototype design so that you don't have to design them, you don't have to incur the cost, and you can make that happen.
All right.
So they're the real things we can do to deliver change for health.
Okay, thanks very much for that. Maurice Quinlivan, you are a TD for Limerick at the moment. Presumably you spend a lot of your time asking parliamentary questions and lobbying for Limerick. But as Mayor of Limerick, as the representative of the people of the city and county, what would you bring to the table, and what was the main issue you would be trying to solve on behalf of Limerick?
When we're talking about the Mayor, as I said earlier on, it's a new role. We have to enhance that. We have to make sure it works, and we have to all work together to make sure it works for the better of Limerick. And under legislation, there's provision under the consultative forum. I was involved in the legislation, but it allows the Mayor to instruct or meet with ministers, whichever minister they require. It would be chaired by the Minister for Local Government, and the issue would be to involve more powers to Limerick. But as a mayor, the most important thing any mayor who is elected in Limerick to do is to advocate on our hospital. We have an absolute crisis going on there at the moment. People are afraid to go to the emergency department. 21,400 people were on trolleys last year who were deemed in need of a bed, and there was no bed available for them. We all have family members, we have neighbours, we have friends who have been in that situation. And it would be remiss of anybody who is the Mayor of Limerick not to champion the need for the people in Limerick, when they're sick, to be able to access the services they need, whether that's waiting lists, which are horrendous in our local region, or to go to an emergency department when you need to go to the emergency department. That would be the number one priority for any mayor, but certainly be for myself. But the other one is the meeting, the consultative forum, get more powers devolved. And hopefully in a year or so, or less than a year, we will have a new government which will devolve more power so we can do just get what was fair, and Limerick gets its fair share from government.
All right. Elise O'Donovan, again to you, the representative role. What's your top priority, and what makes you believe that you could get for Limerick something that needs to be tackled at national level?
Well, I think it is really important that, considering the significant role in public transport that the mayor has, I think it's really important that we get our public transport, be it buses, be car sharing schemes, be it bike sharing schemes, and that they be reliable, that they be on time, and they be usable. But I do think it is very important to mention health as well, because you know, this is something that even as a local councillor you can actually have a big advocacy role in. I know that I collected experiences of people throughout the Midwest living with type 1 diabetes, and as a result of that, I presented it to the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, and we now actually have a Daphne Centre in UHL. And it really, it was working with the advocacy groups like the Midwest Diabetes Advocacy Group. And I think the Mayor really needs to be doing that, needs to be working with the advocacy groups in relation to health, because I think that they are going to be really having to highlight the experiences of people living in Limerick and throughout the Midwest in relation to hospital and health services.
All right. Thanks very much for that, Elise O'Donovan. I want to go to you all just on the issue of... I beg your pardon? All right. Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. We're back after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.